Oh, to be a person who lives from a deep, still point of truth. That deep, still point of truth. My favorite photograph of Archbishop Desmond Tutu was taken in 1985. He was seen walking resolutely across this dusty parking lot with a black cope flailing in the wind behind him, holding his hand up high as he stepped between the South African police and a group of Soweto rioters. The tension was high, and Tutu abhorred violence. And that day, he spoke from his deep, still point of truth. And he calmed both the armed police and the armed rioters. And they went their separate ways. This last Friday, Canadian priest Reverend Laurel Dykstra and parishioner Lenny Hutchings from Salal and Cedar were sentenced to 7 days in jail. They were arrested for chaining themselves to a tree within 5 meters of the Trans Mountain site for the pipeline. And the newspaper wrote that they were calm. They were calm as they voiced their truth that they were acting to protect Indigenous lands. Oh, to be a person who lives from that deep, still point of truth. Episcopalian priest, the Reverend Margaret Bullitt Jonas, writes about the moments preceding her arrest for environmental activism. She says they gathered in a room about a block away from the Boston State House. Imagine your heart thumping. And they waited to march, and one by one, they offered a word, preparing themselves as they risked arrest. One said, ready. Another said, resolved. Grounded, centered. One by one, they voiced their deep, still point. Because they were clear about the truth of the environment, and the truth of a non-violent approach to action and speech. It is one thing to give verbal assent or a nod to the truth. It is quite another to consider how we will enact it, how we will live it out, how we will embody it. Pontius Pilate's character in our gospel today depicts the human dilemma of wondering what to do. Have you ever felt that uncomfortable sense of not knowing? We look around us. We look outside of ourselves to find the answer. We go to this friend. We pick up the phone and ask that neighbor. But it always comes down to this. No one can answer our questions for us. They are ours to discover. This is the quest. That is the whole purpose of being human. For this we were born, to search for the mystery of our being and the purpose of our lives. Finding our deep still point of truth. The author of the fourth gospel describes Pontius Pilate's search for answers. And we enter the story of Jesus, this God-man who was on trial, and we are halfway in. He has already been questioned by the leader of a religious group, Caiaphas, a high priest, Think here, bishop or primate. The religious authorities could not prosecute Jesus under their law. They had tried to stone him earlier, and that had failed. And because they could do nothing else, they brought Jesus before the Roman governor, Pilate. For he was given the authority over the military, judicial, and economics of these religious underclass, here called the Jews. And this does not refer to the Jewish nation or those who follow Judaism today. It is a religious underclass of the time who were vocal against Jesus. And this is where we enter the scene. Even though these religious authorities did not trust Pilate, because Josephus tells us he was uncompromising and a bully, and maybe that's why they took Jesus to him. But here, Jesus is on trial before Pilate. And Pilate is wavering. Pilate is wavering. He is in between. He doesn't know what to do. This is the scene of an epic dialogue. And we see this fascinating movement in and out, back and forth. If there was a camera, a film, a movie camera, over the praetorium or over the headquarters, we would watch the actual movement of Pilate. For throughout John chapter 18 and 19, Pilate moves into the headquarters to speak to Jesus and outside the headquarters to speak to the religious authorities. And he does it over and over again, back and forth, like a wild tiger not able to make up his mind. Isn't this what happens when we deliberate? We move from inside our private conversations, conversing with the Sharon of my past, conversations that God alone is privy to. And then I move out into conversations with others where there is social pressure, financial pressure, political pressure, and I waver in and out, in and out. So the words like ready, resolved, grounded, centered would not apply to Pilate right now. This is the complexity of an internal and external conversation. And here he voices out very courageously his questions. Questions of authority and truth. Are you a king? Are you their king? And Jesus picks up Pilate's insecure deliberations and asks, do you ask this on your own? Or did others tell you about me? And Jesus is picking up the process of developing a sense of conviction. Do our questions come from deep inside us, or are we simply following along? Discovering our convictions is this ongoing, gradual process of living. And we live out of our questions, no matter how uncomfortable it is to voice questions. For our society has set up a norm where we should know where we stand. We should have the answers. And sometimes we are still living the questions and we do not know. Every person who follows Christ is invited to listen for themselves deeply to the words of truth. Truth is not an answer. Truth is an embodiment, a living out of a question. How shall I live? What should I do? This is faith. How will we enact truth? How will we live it out? It is not about orthodoxy, it is about orthopraxy, the way we choose to live. Friedrich Buechner rewrites this conversation between Jesus and Pilate in a book called Telling the Truth, with a little bit of poetic license. And there's a section that he writes, and it goes like this. Pilate says, "What is truth?" And by way of an answer, the man with the split lip, picture someone who's been, punched in the face, doesn't say a blessed thing, or else not saying anything is the blessed thing. Let me read that to you again. Pilate says, "What is truth?" And by way of an answer, the man with the split lip doesn't say a blessed thing, or else not saying anything. That is the blessed thing. We are all of us, Pilate, in our asking after truth. And when we come to church to ask it, Buechner says the preacher would do well to answer us with silence. What am I doing? He says it's not an ordinary silence, but a silence that makes itself heard if you listen to it. When Pilate asks what is truth, Jesus says nothing. The answer to what is truth is silence. Not the silence that stops us sharing our stories, but the silence that refuses to offer a one-size-fits-all gospel. The truth of God's kingdom is an embodied God-man, the human one, Jesus. It is not a creed, it is not a statement of membership. But rather the Christian truth leads us into a mystery, not into a possession of set, simple certainties. Truth is ultimately unknowable, beyond our grasp. And it is the search for truth that defines our Christian path. And we do find these moments of that deep still point of resting into a momentary truth and living out from that center embodied. And then it moves on. And a new still point is found. And we live out and enact that new place. Haven't we seen that when we look at the 70 years of St. Catherine's? The truth being embodied into different decades, into different stages of human development, into different contexts as life moves forward and on. And that is our invitation. On this Reign of Christ Sunday, we are inclined to hold on to certainty, aren't we? We've got these images of the powerful Christ as King. We're surrounded by images of royalty. This doesn't seem to be a paradox. Until you bring the children up there and we land up talking about lightsabers. So these testimonies of Christ as powerful King have historically opened up a way for the church to do harm. And if that was the only image we had, an image of God in our image, of our kingdoms, of strength, of power, of violence, we are missing the point. For Jesus does not acknowledge that he is king, but rather he says that his kingdom is not of this world. It is a kingdom where God washes feet, where God is with the poor, where God himself was marginalized, and this figure of God embodied in Jesus is crucified unjustly, and he stands in solidarity with humankind. So there's always a deep tension in me on this day. Jesus as king, or Jesus as an embodiment of truth, the truth of a kingdom that deconstructs our very notions of power and authority. So let us invoke Pilate's question. What is truth? And let us receive Jesus' silence as it invites us to move back and forth from the different biblical testimonies, recognizing that in our different contexts, where you happen to be, where I happen to be, each of us will be leaning into a different image of God and a different image of Christ. And that is how we live out the questions in community, making space for each other's deliberations. Are you a king? What kind of king are you? What is truth? And how now shall I live that deep, still point of truth? Becomes an embodiment of God's kingdom in you and I, the body of Christ. And we get to enact Christ's solidarity with a lonely world. Amen.